The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, July 29th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C. A. Neary, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we're talking about education. We're talking about education, which is a tough subject, right? Because I believe, see, this would be C. A. Neary, believe, behaviors at a D level. Some people will say, no, you're always talking nonsense with these negative talk. And I said, D isn't really bad. We could work with that once we acknowledge where we are, and we could move forward in terms of where we see ourselves in the future. Today, we have two special guests in studio, Ms. Glenys, I write down the name, I already forget, Knowles, and Ms. Sydney Vanderpool Wallace. I hope I pronounced those names.
Yes, sir.
Because Sydney have a lot of syllables.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, just letting you know. And they are education specialists, right? But they deal with smaller schools, right? And they curtail, they create a, enforce a program that caters to children who need smaller schools to in order to survive. And I say, man, I don't know if I really like smaller schools. I like established schools. But this particular school that they particularly teach at, right, they have crafted I'm trying to get the right word, a system where they concentrate on education system. And I will Miss Glenys Knowles. I was going to start with her. Then I'm going to go to Miss Sydney Vanderpool Wallace about her system. But because she's coming from a spare of being young, because she's 24 years old. And I said, 24 years. And I remember when I was in primary school, right? And I said, what can this young woman teach me? Right? And I'm having flashbacks as I see Ms. Vanderpool Wallace, right? And I'm picturing her teaching to high school students and say, boy, it could be tough for some teenage boys trying to pay attention, right? But I want to talk about education in general. So I'll start off with the principal and just talk generally about education, right? And some of the frustrations that students are finding, some of the concerns that schools are finding, and what we need to be doing. That's what the conversation is. The latter is the conversation. What we need to be doing. And then we go to Vanderpool Wallace and find out, what did you do? As a young person, you say, hey, let's see if we can work on this. And I've discovered that I'm going to do this. Okay? So that's how our conversation goes. Go ahead, Ms. Knowles. It's all you.
Okay. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, Neary. I very much appreciate you having Ms. Sydney and myself here on the show today. Basically, the name of our school is Bahamas Global Academy. It is a school that's been in existence since 2015. It's a school that was birthed basically out of a need. I was that parent. When I say that parent, that is the type of parent that was extremely involved in my child's education. I was the parent that was always at the school. I knew all the teachers. I knew the head teachers. I knew the staff. I knew the friends. I could tell her any day which friend she was playing with on a given day at school, because that's how involved I was in her education. Did I want to be an educator? No. But I did have a passion for education. And so that being said, that's the backdrop on which Bahamas Global Academy was established, because I tried so many different schools when my daughter was about to graduate from grade six. But I couldn't find the right fit. Most of the schools that were some of the more popular schools were very big, and even though they were popular in terms of focusing on passing exams, I knew I needed more for my daughter. And so basically we found a school that offered a curriculum that went outside of what we know as the norm. And so it was a non-traditional curriculum. But it was a curriculum that allowed a child to be met at whichever level they were, in whichever subject or they were at. And so basically, if a child was strong in English but not strong in math, they would be met at whichever grade level they were at without having to adjust an entire grade level simply because they might have been behind or ahead in a particular subject. And I thought this tailored approach was interesting. At first, I did not fully believe in it, but I wanted to give it a try. And I did. And that led me to eventually start Bahamas Global Academy on that same concept, because it is a program that is tailor-made to each and every student, individual student. And when we say tailor-made, we mean truly tailor-made.
Now, for why you get onto the show in terms of children who have challenges, right? And I can use me for example, because I'm dyslexic, right? I have issues reading. I still read a lot on the show, and I always find it fascinating that I'll read despite having challenges, right? But I was always good in math. But when I was transitioning to high school, right, and taking the exams, and even taking exams like SATs and external exams, I did extremely well in math, but my English grade was poor. But I remember in primary school, they had an elite class for English. We stream based on English grades, not math grades, right? But because my math was so good for reading, and I remember all the smart girls, I was the only boy there, reading so well. And I get intimidated because I said, I ain't going to get these words at all. And I want to know, like, going to a tailored school, how do you accommodate things? Like, I had a person that I didn't read at all. I was in the back and tell the teacher, I ain't reading no more, man. You give me some math, I'll do.
Well, one of the first thing we do is we do a diagnostic test at our school. And when we do the diagnostic test really allows us to go in and assess the child's history of education. So it's not an entrance exam where you can pass or fail, but we really do a very specific diagnostic test that will show us what your strengths and weaknesses are. So for example, you just said that you were strong in math, but you know you might have experienced some challenges in English. One of the first things I do when a parent comes to us and we have that initial conversation, I ask them not to tell me what their challenges were throughout the history of their child schooling. When we give the diagnostic test results, I will point that out to you. And I allow you to assess our accuracy based on the results of the diagnostic test. And if we are accurate, that is a testament that we can indeed design a program that accurately address the gaps or the challenges that you may have and a solution on how to improve in those areas that need improving and how to move ahead in the area at the same time if you are prepared to move ahead in a particular subject area like math, for example.
Ms. Vanderpool Wallace, you started a system. I'm going to bring you into this conversation. Again, using me as an example to further the conversation, I tend not to do well on external exams. I don't know how to study. My child, she will wait till the day before to start studying. I say, hey, let's start. There's a whole year worth of work. And she just can't. She just can't, right? And she'll cram for that last 3 hours and try to remember a whole year worth of work. What system have you created, you all created, to help people taking exams in general?
So the software that I developed, it's called SmartyChat. And what it basically is it's an all-in-one platform, a one-stop shop for everything BJC and BGCSE exam prep. And it's available 24/7. You get instant feedback on your answers. And so what it basically looks like is it's specifically tailor-made to a Bahamian child. Because oftentimes what we found is, well, what I found when it came to tutoring some of my students for exam, information was very fragmented and all over the place. And for example, you might have to pull information from this US-based website or this UK-based website. There's no truly centralized spot for Bahamian students to come and say, hey, this is my curriculum and this is what I need to study. And so that's basically what SmartyChat is. Like I said, it's available 24/7 online.
Why are Bahamian students getting D?
So, you know, that introduces a broader discussion. And I think that a lot of times, it's sometimes just a lack of access to education or access to information.
So we ain't dumb?
No, I don't think we're dumb at all. We produce a lot. We produce the brightest and the best. I believe we do have the potential to produce the brightest and the best. But where the issue I find lies a lot of time is the access to the information, affordable access to information. Because what you might find is, and you know, this is my whole ethos, education or affordability should not be a barrier to you getting a quality education. So with the SmartyChat program, instead of having to source, let's say, a tutor who charges $85 per hour per subject, you have everything all in one. And you can go to the site, you have the same information that someone who would be or able to more afford specialized tutoring, you have the same access to information as that child. And it also, you know, what we're looking at doing is offering this programs to different schools, different tutors that they might be able to use to help their students. Because a lot of times what we find in the smaller schools as well is that, you know, they might not have who's able to, you know, provide this specialized subject. One of the areas that I find that a lot of students tend to shy away from is the sciences, like physics and chemistry, more specifically, because the teachers sometimes just aren't there. So what SmartyChat does is it says, hey, this is the syllabus information, this is what you need to cover, and everything is all in one.
So basically, just to jump in there, sort of piggyback on what Ms. Sidney said, basically, that is what we did at our school. So basically, it's not curriculum-led. It's led by the student. And so basically, the curriculum conforms to where the student is at, and it is a mastery-based system of educating. So students are not allowed to move forward until, for sure, they have mastered a particular level and they move forward. Now, with Ms. Sidney's new innovative idea, and she's a techie person, so she's the tech person at the school, she went in and took the whole concept of our school and combined that into an app that she called SmartyChat. And basically, we're not gatekeeping it. We want to make it available.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We want to make that available to all schools in the Bahamas and every student in the Bahamas. Because as you mentioned, you know, the D average affects us all. And sometimes, you know, we may look at it and say, oh, that's just a terminology that they give to it. No. When we say we have a D average, it really exists.
It means something?
It means something. It does mean something. And it reflects in, you know, in terms of how prepared we are once students graduate grade 12. How prepared we are not just to compete locally, but the real test is how do we compete globally? Mm. How do we match up to other cultures in different areas of the world? And that is what we need to begin looking at, because the world is now becoming a globe. It is a global community. We're no longer confined within the walls of the Bahamas and have our jobs protected simply by being a Bahamian. The walls and the barriers are now being removed, and we have to prepare ourselves to be able to compete globally. So what Ms. Sidney did with Smarty Chat, we realized that with our in our small school community, we can only reach a certain number of students. But now we want to make that available to all students, because the broader picture is, if we are able to elevate our entire educational system to a place where we can now transform that D average to a B plus at least, and in many cases an A average, we're now looking at the foundation on which the Bahamas can begin to now elevate from our current third world status or developing status to a first world status. And I think that is very possible.
Is there a culture of learning in the Bahamas? Like, say, generally, Bahamians learn this way. And of course, I know people learn differently. But if there's a national grade average of a D, whatever that means, right? And then we see culturally that we have some concerns, generally, across the board, all the schools, like science in us, right? Math in us, or whatever it is, right? Is there a culture of how we learn, and can that culture be changed? Should it be changed?
Yes, I think it can easily be changed. I think it can be changed by the way we think as Bahamians. We need to begin thinking outside of the box. Very often we prepare our students to pass examinations.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they do, and they do very well. That's a testament to the fact that as Bahamians, you can see from our population, when we compete globally, we do very well. We do very well in many cases with very limited resources. So just imagine the capability of us Bahamians as a small population, what we can do when we are fully presented with everything that we need in order to level the playing field and compete globally. So basically, I think that we have to have a shift in the paradigm in terms of our approach to education and what we deem as a success. So basically, and you know, this may be a little bit archaic, a better word, but if you put a fish in a tree and ask it to sing like a bird, you would call that fish stupid because it can't sing like a bird. But when you place that fish in the water and you allow it to swim, then you see the genius come out. So one of the things that you mentioned earlier, you struggled. However, when you got to a higher level, you saw that in areas that you were able to focus on, all of a sudden, you took off in those areas. I think it's less about pushing our children to be academic students. In some cases, they may not be academic students. In many cases where you have what we deem a struggling student who's struggling in academics, may be very well gifted with their hands. They may be very talented when it comes to putting colors together, putting music together. These students very often fall through the cracks, and they leave many industries in the Bahamas wide open and untapped, simply because we have not shown these children that they are in fact geniuses in their own right by allowing our curriculum or our educational system to adapt to them instead of trying to fit them into a predetermined system of success.
Let's go to Vanpo Wallace again. You're the techie inside the school. I have two children. One, well, refuses to use ChatGPT for anything. She said that's cheating. She's going to create and craft her essays, her theories, her thoughts from her own board. She goes to UB, and she's like aghast to see students using ChatGPT to start their essays. She just said, start doing it. She's very morally persuaded that way. Then I have the next one. who uses technology and she can get information from ChatGPT, then manipulate it to make it be hers. Mm-hmm. She uses all of the different technologies, all those different apps, right? And this world that we're in, you being a techie, right? How should, and not even, how should schools approach children who want to use all these new technology, want to use these apps, and how teachers are relating to these things? Say, okay, I see what you're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when it comes to when it comes to the use of like AI, so like ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, any of those. At the end of the day, these things are tools, and as it being a tool, whatever you put into it, you can get out of it. And so it's not about, and it's something that, you know, it's inevitable. We have to begin to adapt to this new era of AI. It's not something that is going to go away. It's not something that's going to escape. You know, I'd like to draw parallels to, for example, when the first digital calculator came out.
Mm.
A lot of people resisted the calculator because people said that, oh, it's going to affect students to be able to think, or them reducing their skills in terms of their mathematical concepts, grasping them. But no, you still have to learn how and when to use a calculator. It is a tool at the end of the day. So, you know, I'm not a proponent of using the AI or the ChatGPT to substitute your work because, you know, at the end of the day, you still have to learn how to do certain things, and you still have to learn how to use it more specifically for what you're trying to do. So what I like to look at in terms of, for example, how AI can be adapted to our modern educational system, and you brought up the example of the essay writing, because now you can just go into ChatGPT and say, hey, ChatGPT, write me a letter to such a business letter to such and such. But the business letter is something that comes on the exam where we have to learn the structure and the format. But what if we could design the exam in a way where we're given a ChatGPT answer in terms of tell the students, okay, is going to be most persuasive to accomplish this particular goal, or to convey this particular message, and actually give them the actually make them write down the reasons why this is going to be more effective in community than the other one. So I think that's one of the areas we can begin to really shift our approach to examining and approach to learning, because really and truly, you know, if we're being honest, how many of us handwrite a letter or a piece of writing nowadays? Because AI just does it for us. Mm. But we still need to be able to critically evaluate its contents and to make sure that it is conveying what we aim for it to convey.
I like the critical analysis there. So let me go ask Ms. Knowles again. Two schools I herald, right, because I have some kind of connection to the school, right? One of the school teaches like a comprehensive type learning. And the other school does a lot of tutoring. You know, it's a lot of tutoring. In grade 7, you're tutored for the exam, and you take your exam early in grade 8. And then you're tutored for the exam from grade 9, and you take your exam again in grade 11. But all of that was extra classes. A lot of extra classes to let you get to take this exam early. In contrast to the other school that said, man, the state says grade 9, you're taking grade 9. The state says grade 12, you're taking, we ain't rushing nothing. Ain't no extra tutoring there. And I want to know the overall quality of learning when you say, child, you finished all the exams, now you need to learn to be critical thinkers, to apply the knowledge, not necessarily to regurgitate the knowledge, but to apply the knowledge. Like, I never saw that some before, but I learned something 2 years ago. If I put that there and I put that there, I might get to the answer instead of this is how the question is going to be, and you just need to plug in the different answers or numbers there and get the answer.
Okay, that's an excellent question. because I think it's important. A lot of times when parents are looking for a school for their child to go to, we tend to look for the end result, or how many exams does this school pass. I think that we need to take a different approach when we search for which school would be the right school for our children to go to. First of all, it's important for you to know your child. Mm. We have to be involved as parents in our child's education. And so you need to know their learning style, right? You need to know what their temperament. You need to know their temperament. You also need to know their social style and what type of environment they would thrive best in. So I would look less at which school and more your child's learning style and your child's learning abilities. Some students thrive better in the larger environments. Mm-hmm. Some students don't. Some students need that individual attention to education, and that does not necessarily mean that the child is a slow learner. Sometimes the faster-moving student needs to be in a tailored environment simply because they may get bored if they're in a larger setting and they're ready to move forward. So you need to have an environment that basically caters to that child and feeds their need for education. And so I think the focus need to be more on understanding your child and what works for them, and then finding the school that best suits.
I like that.
Their style.
I see we have a caller here. So a producer, a pastor caller through so we can have them engage Ms. Knowles and Ms. Vanderpool Wallace. Let me see if I can do that. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you're live.
Hello, Mr. Nuri.
Hey, how you doing?
AI question. Here to your guest. Good day. Now, somebody showed me the other day about AI, and in a few seconds, I mean, it's really fun, it's quick. But the GPT AI, I tried to get the Plus AI, where I tried to code in my bank card, so I don't have to do, you know, the AI GPT, it only allowed me to do one thing a day, then it said reset for the next 54 hours, or 15 hours. Yeah. If I do the Plus GPT, I could put my bank card, and I could do what I want to do all day. But you know, you're not talking to a human being when you talk to AI. You're actually talking to a computer system, like Google. You see, PTC and talk to the computer, I need to talk to a customer service rep. So how do I get to go on the GPT Plus with my bank card if AI doesn't allow me to do it? Thank you. Listen.
Okay, thanks very much. Anyone you want to respond to that?
I think I can give some feedback on that. So with the different models of the AI that's available, you do have free versions, but you also do have paid versions. And the free versions, yes, they only have a limit as to how much they can produce in one day because, you know, they run off of something called tokens. And once your token usage runs up, then they say, okay, no, you have to wait and reset until the next day. So the paid versions allow you to go a little bit beyond that. Now, you mentioned something about, you know, entering the banking information and, you know, into the ChatGPT to help you with your finances. And there are tools that allow you to incorporate your finances into the AI, and it actually does your finances for you. Now, locally, some of those options aren't available to us as yet because with the AI, you can incorporate with things like Stripe and, Paddle payments, but those aren't just, they aren't available to us right now locally using our local banks.
Okay. And I changed one of my children's school because she wanted to do art. Right, she was going in grade 7, and the school that she was at did not have an art program until the elective grade 10. And she actually asked, said she can't stay here anymore because she felt stuck. She wanted to draw. To this day, all she wants to do is draw. Everything else is just gravy. during the other class, but she just wanted to draw. She changed school. She's getting the A in art now. I remember it was problematic, and I could even add this question to you. She wouldn't do nails. And I'm looking at her and I said, woman, you know how much I'm spending for you to go to this school? You talk about you want to do nails and hair, and she doing do designs and doing her art in that. And you saying, know your child, right? I can know my child, and I spend my money, and I need it to be academic.
Okay, I'll start that question by doing some math with you. All right? A lot of times, historically, we have looked at those areas or those fields as something that our children do when they did not achieve academically. But they are actual pathways of education and careers that persons can go into. There was a lady that used to come by to do my nails. She usually make house calls. Now, whenever I called her, I would have to book my appointment with her on WhatsApp. She came to my house in a van. Now, each time I called her, you have to call at least 2 days in advance. Which means that she was usually booked out. And she's usually booked out. She works from 8 a.m. in the morning until 8 p.m. at night. 6 days a week. On average, when she comes, you do a manicure and a pedicure. That will run you anywhere from $85 if you did one, but if you did two, you would pay up to about $150 per session. And it usually takes about 45 minutes to an hour to complete each client. So let's say that she has, for those 8 hours, eight clients per day, making $150 per hour. How much money is she making in one day?
Plenty. I want my child to make plenty because she's asking for money now.
$1,200.
She's making $1,200 per day.
A day?
If she's working 6 days a week, what is she making?
$7,200.
$7,200 a week. And for a month, how much is that?
$28,800.
That's people's yearly salary.
I think that speaks for itself. And so we need to change our way of thinking about education, where we class success for those persons that can only be a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant. We need to understand that there's lots. There's very profitable in nail, in art, in music. You know, as I said, when we first began this conversation, there are so many areas. The Bahamas is basically a clean slate as it relates to areas that are untapped. There are many things that we do not consider successes, but can be very profitable depending on how we approach that field and how we look at it. I know of a gentleman in Trinidad many years ago who did not know how to sew. But he practiced sewing a necktie and a pocket piece. And that's all he did.
That's it?
A necktie and a pocket piece. And he perfected that. And that's all he made. And he created an entire industry within his country, only making neckties and matching pocket pieces. So we need to begin to shift the way we classify success. And understand that some of our students that for many years have fallen through the cracks simply because they did not go along what we call an academic pathway to get all A's, let's say in an honors diploma, that there are other pathways of education that in many cases can not only be just as profitable, but even more profitable.
Before we go into break, let's take this last call and we'll go into break. And other pathways in education. I say, I know how I feel like that because I understand math and I understand English and I understand history. Now you want my child to learn trade and skills and skill set, and you say that's education too. How do I get education, man? That's things what you do on the side. That side. Anyway, let's go to this caller and you can respond to that after the break. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I like what you're saying. Some things have me thinking. I'll just say that, not disagreeing, but thinking, because I haven't processed all of what you're saying. I'm just hearing some of it for the first time. But I'm glad I just heard that portion that you were talking about just now in terms of the various paths to learning and becoming successful. And that brings me to the point of the D average. To be honest with you, I don't care about the D average simply because the D average is solely based on academics. And heaven help you if you're not an academic person. So is that a true reflection of our country when we have children who are able to excel and do well in other areas? Why are we so heavily on assessment, leaning so heavily on assessment in terms of academics when a number of our students are dropping out of school, they're not interested in school, they are trying to tell us but not understanding how to communicate to us that, hey, I have various interests, I want to do some other things, but you keep shoving this book and pencil and paper and this math and all of this down my throat when I am totally not interested. However, there are other students, like Mr. Nuri would have said, that, hey, I love book and pencil and math and all the stuff, all the sciences. Bring it on, bring it on. I love it. So we need to determine what's going on in our country and how we're going to address it. One of the other things I heard was your program lends to, and I love that, that the child does not move on until they're ready. So we would have a D average if, hey, every week you're teaching a new topic and the child didn't grasp it, or the child was probably out sick, or the teacher was out sick and wasn't able to properly prepare you. And so, or the teacher, that's not the teacher's area of strength. And so for whatever reason, and that's a foundation that you may have needed, for whatever reason that child didn't score well or what have you. So the thought for me of hearing score, score, scores, and building our nation on scores, I don't like it because we have so much more to offer. I love the idea, the concept. Like I said, I don't quite understand all of it because I'm just hearing it. The computer strategy that you have, I am so with the Ministry of Education implementing a technology department in all of the schools so that stuff like this can be implemented, but not to place it on the teacher, because I can tell you, teachers can't take another thing. But if you have a department that deals with it, the teacher has another specialist moment that they can do their marking or do some planning. The child goes to that department. They learn the strategies that you're introduced to the family island where they're limited of where there's a limitation of teachers, some teacher's aides that are working to enhance and develop it. You have some trained persons who are probably doing the courses virtually. I think it would be great. Those are just my few ideas.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much for phone call. I see you, caller. We're going to connect with you on the next side of the break. We're taking our first commercial break here. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, the phone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. We're preparing for the new school year. School soon open. September soon come. And I say, man, I need some strategies on what we should be doing with our children. Yeah, and that's what we have Ms. Knowles and Ms. Vanderpool Wallace talking about, different strategies they are employing. And to hopefully help us parents out there to say, oh, I never thought about that. How do I go school shopping to find the ideal school for my child? Like I said, my child said she won't draw. And I say, Daddy, I won't draw. Send me to a school where I can draw every day. And because of that, I had to move from one and take her to the next one. We'll be right back.
What happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Attention, Island Game players. Percy's Pension Plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
Can you see me? I might be bruised, frequently absent, depressed, and even distracted. Can you see me? I might be branded with tattoos, over-sexualized, and controlled by a person that is older than me. Can you see me? I might always have a bodyguard, fearful, and never have access to my identification card. Can you see me? I might always sound scripted or rehearsed, and I wrote this verse so that you would be able to see me. If you think someone is a victim of trafficking in persons, call Police Emergency Contact at 919 or Crime Stoppers at 328-8477. This message is being brought to you by the Ministry of National Security.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy's Pension Plan, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy's Pension Plan, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy's Pension Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy's Pension Plan, from the friends you can trust. If winning is a must, go play the game, you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive, in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-4700 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. And of course, I got to remind you that the Great Summer Escape Giveaway is going on, right? So you could win a trip for two, including hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 in cash. All you need is your passport. You hear me? That's right. All you need is your passport. Just get a Nassau Guardian newspaper, fill out the entry form, drop it in the entry box at the Nassau Guardian in Oaksfield, and then tune into Guardian Radio and follow the Nassau Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. The Guardian Media Group Great Summer Escape Giveaway. The deadline to enter is August 12th. And of course, the drawing is August 14th. And you know it's after 11:45. And you know when it's 11:45. It's everything Percy's Island Game. Attention, Island Game players. Percy's Pension Plan is now accepting applications. The applications didn't start. All you got to do is deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary for up to $1,000 per week. You had that for a full year, $1,000. Applications close September 8th. So you need to apply now, and you apply at theislandgame.com. You have a caller who's been waiting. Let me engage that caller. Guardian Radio AM, we're talking to Miss Knowles and Miss Vanderpool Wallace. We're talking about alternative schools. We're talking about considering how do you shop for your child's education, tailoring it for your child. We're talking about small schools. We're going to be talking about even special needs. Like, I have special needs, parents who have special needs children, and I want to know, how do I shop for school for them? How do I include them inside this? But let's go to the first caller. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you live?
Yes, good morning to Mr. Nuri and to your wonderful guests.
Good morning.
You know, I love what your guest is saying, right? But, you know, there's a reason for different generations. You know, she's correct. I remember when I actually forgot my calculator with the O-level math GC. I'd forgotten the calculator. But I still managed, you know, I didn't get a high grade on it. I was the opposite of UCU. I was more better in English than in math, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wasn't, like, I was average or just, you know. But the thing is, for me, everybody learns from different types of learning. I hear them talking about visual and audio. I learn by all of them. But for me, there are pros and cons to AI, right? And we could look at displacement, inherent biases, et cetera, privacy risk, and also making the brain lazy. So there's a book written by Bertrand Russell, The Impact of Science on Society. So what they're doing now is the young could easily be duped into believing that AI will save humanity, et cetera, et cetera. They're not looking at the pros and cons of it. Whereas it can be used for teaching, you know, I love my teachers. It can be used for, it has the pros and cons, like I said, but now if you oppose AI and certain technological advancement, they call you an AI terrorist, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, for me, it's not the savior of mankind. And so when you go online and you read right now, studies will show, even in America, literacy rates are declining, okay, because the pleasure of reading has been reduced. Why read and keep your mind at the speed when you could just scroll through mindless scrolling? So there's an impact. So I guess what I do on both sides of it, because people who went to school without these things, it doesn't make them a dummy, you know. So, you know, what is it? I can't make any changes, but I like to bring awareness. When we look at brain mails, the Neuralink, and all of these different things, right? You know, it has to be pros and cons. Humanity is under attack. Give thanks.
Thank you very much. We have one more caller. Let me engage that caller before we go. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you live? Go ahead, caller. You live?
Hey, gracious, you just here. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Right on, man. Okay. My thoughts on the situation is, right, with the learning, I think that we need basic English, basic math, and basic comprehension. The reason why I'm saying that is, right, we have a serious problem within the country now, right, where people cannot count. I've been to various fast food restaurants, right, and you realize that people are almost all the time giving the wrong change. I gave the lady $10. The woman gave me $100 back. That's one thing with the math situation. With the word comprehension, I asked the lady, I said, well, I'd like to have a number three, please. The lady said, huh? I said, okay, can I have a number three, please? So now my girl ran me out, right? Oh, you can't speak proper. They don't understand proper English. You got to speak how they can understand. So I say, okay, the woman understand three, number three, but she ain't understand number three. That's a problem. So we have a problem with math, and we have a problem with comprehension in the country. A lot of people, that's why in school they have English and they have comprehension. A lot of people could understand English, but a lot of people fail comprehension. We have a comprehension problem in the Bahamas.
Okay.
I'll hang up and let your guests respond on that.
Okay, will do.
Okay, I would like to respond to that, because at Bahamas Global Academy, several areas that you mentioned, and they're very valid points. These are the things that we try to get our children to focus on once they come into our environment. Reading comprehension is very important. I think that is the foundation on which we build the rest of our curriculum, simply because it's important for students to be able to, first of all, focus. So you have to be able to focus on what's in front of you. And then vocabulary is very important. Once you can focus and, you know, the vocabulary is there, then you have to be able to understand and then increase that level of understanding to a different level where it's more than just regurgitating what is being said to you, but go to the point of being able to infer what is being said. So there's a critical thinking aspect, of comprehension. We find that most of our students that come to Bahamas Global Academy from a traditional system, many times we give them, let's say, basic instructions to read. The instructions may say, underline this word, circle the next word, and then fill in the blank for the remainder of the sentence. Many times we ask the students to read it for us, and they read through and they call every word very eloquently, but then they look at us, meaning that they're waiting for us now to tell them what it means. And it's at that point that we take them back through it and we get them to read it in a way that they can break it down and understand. So it's important as teachers that we get children to learn how to focus, learn how to understand words, not just call big words or know how to use big words, but basically understand words to increase your comprehension skills and then elevate that to a point where you can basically infer not just from what is being said, but what is being, what is not being said. And I like the way that the caller related that to customer service. And I think that many Bahamians can relate to that. Sometimes you go into establishments and even banks where tellers are dealing with your monies. And many times the focus, you can see it's not there because sometimes somebody working at one of these establishments, they're serving you, but they have a conversation going on in the background. And the work that they're doing for you, it's now second place to a conversation that's happening in the background. That's a lack of focus. And so we have to begin to train our children not just to pass an exam, but how to pay attention, how to learn how to focus, how to listen carefully, understand using their vocabulary, do critical thinking, and watch how this translates to helping us perform better in the real world. And so those things are very important, and they start with the foundation in what we do every day in school.
And before I go to Ms. Vanderpool Wallace to close and to mention this program she created one more time, right? Social promotion and special needs. You only have 60 seconds. Forgive me for that, right? We do a lot of social promotions in the Bahamas, yes. Right? I want to know how is that impacting education? And then is there room for special needs or children who need extra attention in the way they learn in the broader classrooms? What should happen there?
Many times, because in our system at Bahamas Global Academy, where because we are tailoring our curriculum to each student, many times we find that there might be special needs that are undiagnosed. So sometimes you may have a child and we have to find a solution for that. And that solution may go outside of what the conventional educational system may allow. Sometimes children need to listen to soft music in order to learn. They need a little bit of a distraction. We need to call in other areas in order to help make sure that they are able to learn depending on their particular style of learning. So there are many tools that we have to bring in order to tailor that program and help them to succeed.
And Ms. Vanderpool Wallace, this program again for helping children.
It's called Smarty Chat, smartychat.co. So it's an online platform that allows students to prep for their BJC and BGCSE all in one. It's like the CAN Academy of the Bahamas.
Where can you get that?
Online, smartychat.co.
Okay. Yeah. I have children who take an exam. Anyway, I enjoy talking to you. I wanted to have an alternative type of conversation addressing some of the concerns and issues and ways parents can tailor their education for their children, right? Not all children can be academic. Some people can be technical. And sometimes you got to go to the school and say, this school ain't right for my child. She need to be in a small environment. Or my child's social. She need to be around a lot of people, right? She need to be interactive and engage all the time in order to be to pursue her education. And I would like to thank you, Ms. Glennis Knowles.
Thank you.
And I never forget how to pronounce your first name.
Sydney.
Yes. Sir. Yeah. Sydney.
Sydney.
There you go. Wallace Whitfield. Thank you very much. Vanderpool Wallace. Same thing. See, it done gone. Yeah. That's been a great day at Guardian Radio AM. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.